we will have to start. I know the other members are coming. Probably we have to start so that we don't rush the presentation by BSA. But since you were here early, okay, I thought you wanted to go out. I was going to give you 5 minutes to do so. We will have to start. Probably we can give them maybe 5 minutes or so if they are not here. We are starting, they'll find us along the way. Probably let me apologize from BSA, board member, chair, and also other board members who are here and the executive. I think we are caught in a very hectic program of parliament. As you all know that we've got only 2 weeks. I think we've got only 2 weeks remaining for the life of this parliament before we wrap up and go for full time for election. But we do have the permission members that while the House is sitting to proceed with our meeting. Although also we got it very late this morning from the students and so on. But we have that permission. We'll just proceed and give the other members maybe 5 minutes or so. The House is sitting as we speak in session. So we have to try and manage both the activities and so on. But our apology, that's not the excuse to start at 10, not at half 9. I'm trying to make sure that our excuse is at least understood. But still, it's not the excuse. We should have started at half 9 as we are supposed to. Members, can we start? Because the ESA has been one unfortunate entity. Reporting to us, we often don't have sufficient time to engage with you. We thought that this time we must give you this opportunity so that we are able to engage. We wanted to give you the entire morning until 1, just talking to you, taking us through on what you do, and so on. But we are here. We'll start. The other members will get us along the way. Members, I've got apologies from Honorable Ntambi. Soma, she's not well, but she did represent us Friday on the launching of Ikamva, the EC. The Honorable Kekane, he was here this morning, he just fell ill. Has been taken to the doctor. Honorable Kiden will join us late. The other members are on their way coming. We've got also the apology from Honorable Van der Meijer. She asked me to explain that she has not been coming because of the Women's Empowerment and Equity Bill, which they are busy with in the women, in their other committee. She apologized sincerely. It's not that she's no longer interested on the committee work. I've seen also the apology from the Director General on communications, so on. So those are the apologies, members, which I'm having, probably to give BSA the opportunity, and then we'll come back to our housekeeping matters later, so that we give them the opportunity. Chairperson and the board, I will hand over to you to do your introductions and the other things, and then after that you can take us through your presentation. On our legacy report, we Department of Communication seems to be consuming more time on the committee than the other entities which we must also be dealing with, and so on. Probably it's because how we behave, maybe. It becomes unnecessary to keep on calling you from time to time to come before the committee and so on. But over to you, Chair, and your work.
Thank you, Chair, and to members of the portfolio committee. Our engagement today is part of many engagements we've had, and we thank you very much for having afforded us more time. And just as you rightfully say, I think we are perhaps doing the right things. That's why we usually finish our sessions in record time. I'm here with fellow board members, Dion Heisemar, Wayne Morris, Brian Fisher, also with CEO Mela Matola and CFO Alice Buwane. Because we have a big board, unfortunately not all the board members were able to come through today, and there was also an indication that the date could be cancelled or postponed to a later date, and that proved to be a challenge to some of the board members who had indicated that they would have wanted to be here. Let me first recap, Chair. On the previous engagement, the last meeting that Brent South Africa had with the portfolio committee, there were some concerns that were raised, and that was relating to the size of the board, and also a matter was raised as to how we are marketing South Africa as a destination for investment. And also if we are striking a balance between our international efforts and the domestic efforts. What we are attempting to do in this session is one, to address some of those issues that were raised, but also to give you a broader picture of what is it that we do and how we do what we do. We were established in 2002, and primarily we are responsible for the country's nation brand reputation. And we use this, or we manage the nation brand reputation in order to improve the country's global position in terms of global competitiveness. We also primarily try and create a very positive and compelling image of the country brand, both locally and internationally. It is very important that we first promote the brand domestically, so that when we then present it internationally and do whatever engagements that we do internationally, we have considered and we have the full support of the South Africans behind the brand. How we define the nation brand is according to Simon Arnold, who is an authority in nation branding. We use his definition being the total sum of people's perceptions of a country, and using six core areas, which is investment and immigration, what are the investment potentials, and how attractive is South Africa to the outsiders. We also use exports, the level of satisfaction with the country's products and services. You know, so the a sample would be asked, what is their level of satisfaction with the products or services of a country? The skills and openness of the people, culture and heritage, governance, tourism. So these are the six pillars that we use in defining a nation brand. And the total sum of people's perceptions around all of these is what then begins to define a nation brand. And of course, there's a difference between a brand and branding. You know, the branding would be your actual visual, the logo, the identity, and all of that. But the brand is how you feel about being South African. What is it that defines you as South Africa, for instance? So once we articulate that, then we package that and we communicate that. Of course, this allows us then to tell our story the way it should be told, and allows us to position the country at the levels that we want it to be positioned. It allows us to also debunk the myths around brand Africa and the effect of the continent as a brand, and how we change perceptions and images of what the visuals, the perceptions that people have of South Africa and Africa as a brand. And the brand equity, you know, the fundamentals of what is it that we put value to and attach a significance on. This, of course, then enables us to compete globally for investment. We compete with other emerging economies who also package their countries as a destination for investors. And we have to put all of these attributes together and say South Africa is a better place to invest in because we provide all of these. You know, so hence it's important that we have the internal, the domestical mobilization behind the nation brand. And hence it is that when we look at those six key areas and we put the total sum and we say to an investor, we are a better destination because we have packaged this and we have made sure that the trade and investment is favorable, the exports, the products that we export are favorable, the products around tourism are favorable. The slide that you see there, it gives you, depicts the hexagon of the nation brand, which we continuously test and look at to make sure that we are still on track and not losing sight in terms of what is it that we should be doing as we define the work that we do. The vision, of course, is to be an authority on national identity and reputation building, which will benefit South Africa and the continent. And we hope to achieve this by building confidence in the future of the nation and by telling our inspiring South African story. And the story is there to be told. And how we couch and position ourselves is very critical and important because it is sometimes that sets us apart from other, be it Venezuela, be it Turkey, other emerging economies, because constantly the ultimate is to make sure that globally we are seen to be more competitive. So if we don't tell the story or our story, then we leave it out to the open for interpretation and in many instances misinterpretation. And the purpose is to ensure a sustainable future for our children. And the strategic position is to inspire and unify civil society, business, government, and the media to build the reputation of South Africa and to contribute to its global competitiveness. So all of those sectors are key stakeholders and active participants in building the nation brand and the reputation of the country. And we continuously engage them, as you will see in some of the programs that we will outline later. Our mandate is to contribute to the NDP's objectives on economic growth and employment, and to position South Africa in the region and the world, and nation building and social cohesion. So we derive the programs that we do from the mandate. And we do this by undertaking and coordinating initiatives as put out there, building South Africa's nation brand reputation and to contribute to South Africa's global competitiveness. That is more on the international platform. And inspire and instill active citizenry among South Africans. That is, those would then focus on their domestic products, programs. The outcomes ideally identified are four, as that is to have brand and message alignment so that we are all speaking in one voice. If there is no alignment, we are depleting the value of the brand. We are sending confusing and conflicting messages to the international would-be investors and to the domestic would-be supporters. Pride and patriotism and active citizenry among South Africans, we engage in a number of programs, the Fly the Flag, the Play Your Part, and those will be articulated later. Positive disposition of South Africa as a competitive destination amongst target international and domestic audiences, and sustainable organization. It is important that as we do what we do, we continue to look at our sustainability. Our strategies are broken down into six. It's around brand strategy development and management, reputation management, strengthening and deepening the stakeholder and partner relationships. Because we work through stakeholders and partners, it is important that we develop that and strengthen the relations with our partners and the stakeholders, be it in civil society, in organized business, or in the public sector. Everybody becomes part of this nation brand. And of course, there's a lot of research and insight and thought leadership which we need to, which we engage with and we continuously have to manage. Organizational development is also very key. We have to make sure that we have a team that is fit to the task, nimble-footed, because we operate in a very dynamic environment. Prudent financial management and control is also critical. And of course, we contribute to the following broader impact through the strategies that we engage in. Increase international competitiveness, improve international and domestic reputation, and increase social cohesion. Our key responsibilities are outlined in the slide. Responsibility number one, as we articulated, is to develop and articulate the value proposition and position, which then drives a long-term reputation of brand South Africa. So the strategy becomes more long-term, sustainable, but also nimble-footed and mindful of the tactical and dynamic environment within which we operate in. We also seek to build awareness and the image of the brand in other countries. So we would work then with both private sector and public sector. If the priority markets for trade and investment from DTI would be Russia and Japan, we would then work together with them to position, to find a brand strategies that position us favorably in those markets. and to make sure that there is greater awareness of the offerings that we have in the country that make it easy for investors to find South Africa as a destination for their investment. Responsibility number three is to build pride and patriotism around South Africans with the aim of uniting the nation and encouraging all South Africans to live the nation brand, and in so doing to define the South Africanness. Having evolved from the Rainbow Nation to being alive with possibility, to where we have realized that we can do and we inspire new ways, which is the byline that we have, South Africa inspiring new ways. But in this, there is a need to find that that makes us South Africans. What is it that makes us South African? And that is a program that we had embarked on around social cohesion, around the essence of living the brand, you know, really internalizing it and making sure that all South Africans can identify with, be it three or five key elements that they say, this is what makes me South African and I'm proud of it. So that is also one of our key responsibilities on the domestic front. Responsibility four is to increase South Africa's global competitiveness by developing symbiotic partnerships with all stakeholders who deliver and leverage on the nation brand and alignment and aligning them to enhance South Africa's reputation. So you would find that tourism has offices across the world promoting South Africa as a tourist destination. You would find DTI having offices across the world inviting investors to come to South Africa. You would find Corporate South Africa opening offices across the world trying to export South African products or services and investing outside. We work with all of these stakeholders to make sure that one, the messaging is the same around South Africa. Yes, the individual companies may have their individual aspirations and ambitions, but under the one umbrella of what is it that makes us globally competitive as a nation. So it's very important for us as Brand South Africa that we leverage on these relationships with the stakeholders and partners and the large networks and platforms that they have. And lastly, a responsibility is to develop and implement a proactive and coordinated marketing and communication and reputation management strategy for South Africa. The coordination here is a key word. Without coordination, often at times we find that there are splinter messages, confusing messages. However, through efforts at various platforms, both in the public and private sector, we have found that more and more, as we articulate our role of coordination, there's better traction, there's better success in terms of delivering the messages in the markets that we would want to be targeting. The next slide gives you a picture of South Africa's stakeholders and the target audience as defined. And we do not define this by ourselves. We define it together with the stakeholders and in support of our mandate, in support of the objectives set out in the NDP of increasing FDI into the country, increasing jobs, aligning with the blueprint as it were. This then gives a picture of the international community, South African government, the South Africans themselves, the influencers, because you have external influencers which are a target audience, and the media also, because what they communicate and how they communicate may have an effect on perceptions on the country. And the undesired effect would be that because the message was miscommunicated, it may affect perceptions and in some instances affect whether we do get FDI or not. This is has been simplified, but it begins to bring in the coordination element, because when you look at the international community and the influences, you look at their international agencies, their foreign missions that we work with, the trade missions, business at large internationally, the diaspora, government and government departments, so we would be supporting trade missions externally, or in some instances the state visits as well. And of course media and the general public. Within government, the stakeholders would be national, local, provincial, all the tiers of government, and the SOE entities. And because many of these, they individually, you would find a municipality going to a city in Brazil, and you would find a province was there the week before, and then there would be a national state visit, you know. So our role is to attempt to coordinate so that the messaging is not lost when all the various entities engage with the external world. There is consistency in the messaging that we give out as South Africans. Then you have the other influences being academia, NGOs, small business, big business, faith-based organizations, professional bodies, civil society, and trade unions. And on the continent, we would be engaging with NEPAD, AU, ECOWAS, SADC and COMESA, and business as well. Media would be business internationally and locally, news, trade, and just general across all platforms of media. And the civil society, we would be looking at youth programs and youth organizations, global South Africans. We have many South Africans who live and work outside South Africa, and the interaction with those is invaluable because they have on the ground information as to what the perceptions are, what the issues are, how we can better position South Africa in those markets, and we continuously engage with them as global South Africans, and they belong to a platform that says they are global South Africans. Individuals working and living abroad. Our approach is an integrated one, and it seeks to achieve a competitive identity. So at the core of South Africa's competitive identity is the nation brand image management, which is the flag and the unified country branding that was approved, and at the bottom of the slide there, that is the identity that we use to market South Africa internationally. So all agencies and companies would use this as one identity, as opposed to previously we had over 100 different logos and images that were promoting South Africa, and was sending a very confusing message. Trade and investment and export promotion, tourism promotion, governance, policy, public diplomacy and communications, culture and heritage. So this again is an integrated effort looking at the six core pillars of Simon Arnold's definition of a nation brand. The next slide shows you how we work with the other entities. I have explained that previously, but this kind of like gives you a sense. We report to the presidency, to the office of the president. We work with GCIS very closely. Other organized groups, BUSA, being organized business, civil society, you know, so it's a coordinated, collaborative support that we continuously leverage on and seek to expand. How we are governed, we are a Schedule 3A entity, registered as a trust, so we are governed by a trust deed, which is subject to the Trust Property Control Act. The accounting authority, being the board, is in line with Section 49 of the PFMA. The trustees are appointed by the president for a duration of a term of 3 years and can be renewable. The board meets 4 times a year. We currently have 27 board members. And I think the because of the nature of the work that we do, there was, I think, a motivation to try and have a very wide representation in terms of thought leaders and influencers and brand ambassadors, as it were, on the board. We have 22% female representation on the board. The CEO is supported by Exco, which is executive management, and they are mainly responsible for the operations and the day-to-day management of the organization. Meetings of the board are quarterly, and the board has three committees, being the Audit and Risk, Marketing Committee, which is the largest committee, again, because we are a marketing organization, and the HR and REMCO. Our budget is, for the work that we do, is very small.
I never heard anyone saying what is sufficient budget.
We could do so much more if we had more. I think 2010 was the year where we enjoyed a larger portion of the budget because of the work that we did, we had to do. And to this day, we still relish on the positive gains on the country image that 2010 has brought us. That is the breakdown of the budget for 2014-2015, and it takes you through to 2019, so just a five-year outlook. International programs take up 60% of the budget, and the domestic take up 40% of the budget. 167 million is not much. I think at this stage, have I left out anything there? That's is just to give you an overview, Chair, and your committee. We would welcome an engagement at this point, questions or clarification. We are very excited to be part of Brenda and to do the work that we do. The board is largely is not compensated, so really I commend the board for continuously giving their time to give input and strategy to how we best position the country as a destination for investment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the presentation, and also appreciate for the board members to give their service to the country, as we are saying that is largely sort of a voluntary basis, other than the stipend driven issue in a board. So thank you very much for that. No stipend. thanks for the presentation, Chair. I think that it helps and also assists us, although we should have done early. That's what members have been talking about, that the interaction has been more on the strategic plan and annual report, but not dealing with the gist of the matter in terms of the area of focus and the importance of BSA in the life of South Africa as a country and so on. Members, I see Honorable Mrutwa, the hands is up, Honorable Nivo Drofen, she, and Honorable Stein, Master.
I'm trying to look for the slides where I wanted to question before I even go to that, you know. Somewhere in the presentation you have the spoken about what slide is this? There are no numbers on the slide. Okay. Where you were speaking about social cohesion. I just wanted to know from you, because, how far do you think you have managed to deal with the issue of social cohesion? I'll tell you why I'm asking, because in some instances, you know, we have been talking about this social cohesion even in us and culture. It doesn't seem to sink with other people. And I saw on your slide that you deal with sectors. I don't know if you could maybe tell us what tactics are you using to deal with the issue. I think it's a very important one to bring out. But I don't know with business how far do you deal with business when you bring in South Africa. You know, I was looking at my TV last week and I saw a program of I think it's a young model, and they were taken from different countries, I think in Africa, to model, and they were given a goat. One of the things they were using is two goats. Some of them from Nigeria were saying, yeah, once I see a goat, I see meat. And now what was amazing is that when they were shooting this, they preferred to go to the Spartans. in the desert. Now, to me, it was, I don't know how does it look to the international. This is the South Africa that we have. They could have done it elsewhere. I don't mind about the goat. The background was so terrible. And the ground, it showed that the ground is not even, some of them were falling. That is the South Africa we have. I'm talking about last week. And I was looking at this and I was so interested. You know, I look at this too. And I thought it is related to our case. We are trying to do the grand South Africa. I don't know how far do you deal with the business people. So far, the last thing I would like to know is how far do you deal with popularizing yourself in our community? Because I don't think people do understand between the tourism department and yourself. Last time when you were here, if you remember very well, I asked you about the GCIS. Now, I want to know if you are managing maybe to make people understand what role does the tourism department play and what is your role. And also the GCIS, because you remember when there was the event at the FNP, and people were saying there was an interpreter there, and I don't know, they said some of the sign language was doing like it was insulting people and all. I don't know some language. But to me it was amazing. Really, can we have that effect? I don't know how fast to do that. Well. But I'm telling you from some of us here, they thought it's related to you people. Now, I wanted you to explain to us what is the difference between you and this idea. Because in my mind, I thought that has nothing to do with you people. I thought it has something to do with this idea. Can you please explain to us? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Nivor, Professor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for your presentation, Van South Africa. Your introduction at the beginning, I'd like to know the people sitting with you at the back, if they are board members and who are they of Van South Africa. That is the first thing I want to check. And then secondly, I sit on the Portfolio Committee of International Relations and Cooperations as well. And so I came in really late in that to that committee, but I never got a Band of Africa presentation in that committee. I'd like to know, how do you then work with the embassies or the various foreign missions, and where do we find your offices? Do they work? Do you work in collaboration? Do you work together? Do you share an office or not? So how do you work with the various embassies? That's the one thing I'd like to know. Our embassies in the various other countries. Secondly, you mentioned civil society and you showed us a diagram, and I want to say that I do travel a lot. I just want to ask you, Brands of Africa, you're not really visible. That for me, I don't see. If a school is picked maybe to go and do an international trip or competition, will that school who won that competition, will they contact, for example, Brands of Africa? Will you assist them in some way, you know, to travel international, those types of things, if they go and compete in other countries? So what is your role there? That basically, can the ordinary citizen who travel overseas, can we use you? Can we come to you and ask for assistance? What benefit, you know, is that to a ordinary citizen? And then just saying back to the board here. 22% of female members on the board. So I'd like to know, people with disabilities, are they represented on your board? I'd maybe like a percentage there. For example, I'm on the World Federation of the Deaf. I'm a board member there. And we also have a person on the World Blind Forum as well. And we have Shahid Chokan, who was a special rapporteur for the UN, and we have the African Decade for People with Disabilities, and we have various disabled people represented there. So I'd just like to know, Brand South Africa, because when we go to the various meetings, you know, we go to the various countries and we represent our country there, we don't go with Brand South Africa. So I just want to know, you know, because when we go and represent South Africa on these various forums, obviously it's a brand in South Africa. So why don't you have a person with disabilities maybe on your board? I don't know if you do have, but if you do have, you can just tell me. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Jefferson. I was relieved to find that Brandy said it's actually better financed than what appears on the paper here, because how on earth do you manage on $167,000 a year? If you put little notes at the top, it it just makes it more accurate for our records. When you presented to us previously, you've given us the results of surveys you've done amongst our stakeholders in the countries that that you operate in. You haven't done that here, but I just wanted to know if you can give us some idea of how SA South Africa is perceived in our target markets. As an investment destination, and on the scale of good governance, as a country that people would like to do business with and invest in, if you can give us some idea of how that has been shaped over the past couple of years, you know, like what it was in 2010 when you had the World Cup, and perhaps what it is now. Is there a difference in perception, and what your cause is? What do you think the cause is for any change? And if you fed that back to the presidency for them to take any corrective action or to, you know, build on a good idea. Thank you.
Honourable Steyn.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions will relate to some that my colleagues have asked. I'm equally concerned, and I think we expressed it the last time you appeared before us, about the, not just the visibility, but the fact that Brand SA is not a household name. Or not a household name, it's not. If I didn't have this interaction with you, I would not have been aware of Brand SA. Now, and to prove my point, the last time you were here, I think you informed us that you've now got a mobile application. I remember going onto it then, and I've just gone into it again now. You've got 1,677 likes. I'm this day and age for an application like Brand SA to have so few likes. I mean, that gives you an idea in terms of just within the country, the people that are aware of Brand SA. I must also admit in the same breath that I'm not very impressed with your application. If I go on to the news item, for example, both on my phone and on my tablet, I get a message that says this XML file does not appear to have any style info associated with it. And it therefore doesn't come up as little items of news. There's a lot of, almost looks like a mathematical equation. But that is not good news in terms of you branding the country and making the country Brand SA, making it visible and knowledgeable to particularly the ordinary people. And but having said that, one of the things that I would like to ask, that I want some clarity on, and again, like I said, it's been touched on by my colleagues. You correctly indicate that you leverage the footprint of our other departments, be it DTI or tourism or something like that. Now, I would imagine that there's a two-way communication there. You get information from them, and you pass on information to them. Because at the end of the day, your job is largely about perceptions. Now, and you must, because of the offices and the interaction that you have with other role players, both in the country and outside, I would almost think that you would be amongst the first in terms of all the role players to pick up on perceptions, and particularly negative perceptions. Now, when you pass this or share this with our colleagues in the other departments, what is the response from them? Is it a shrug of the shoulders and, oh, it's wrongness? Is there a positive response in terms of it's a perception, it may be wrong, but we need to correct it? So I'd very much like a very truthful answer in terms of that, because it's going to make your job that much more difficult if it is merely shrugged off because the people that you reporting this to says, well, we know better, and that is not the case. And factually, it may not be the case, but I'd like to stress that we're talking about perceptions. And then, perhaps lastly, Chairperson, it was said, and we've always acknowledged that we've got a relatively small budget, but it was said that we can do so much more if. Would you care to share with us what else you can do if your budget, for example, was doubled or trebled? What is there that you'd like to do that you're not currently doing? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member, for the question. Chairperson? I must say you're one of the few chairperson who can take a presentation and do it without delegating to the executive. Most chairperson is just doing introduction and that's it. Executive proceed with everything. Thank you very much for that. You may respond.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is where I delegate now because a lot of the questions are mainly on operations, really, and how we interact, and that really talks to the operations. But perhaps let me answer one or two questions. And this one, I think it cuts across from all the questions that we have received, how we popularize ourselves, why we are not a household name, and that we are not visible. I think, you know, previously the mandate of Brand South Africa, which was the International Marketing Council then, was more focused internationally and promoting the country internationally. In 2009, when the mandate changed to say you can't just be promoting the country internationally when you have not looked at making sure that the country is promoted internally to every citizen of the country. Then that was when now we needed to look at programs of how do we then begin to promote and market ourselves internally. But because Brand SA was formulated along the lines of being a thought leader and a resource base and a coordinator. Initially, there had not been any need or necessity to brand ourselves because it was not about us as Brand SA, but it was about the influence that we can do in terms of changing perceptions. However, I think with the change of mandate, it has become necessary that we look at actually branding Brand SA. So if there is a communication or a message that we are going to, be it an advert or be it an editorial or an op-ed, we then need to tagline it and say brought to you by Brand South Africa or in collaboration with Brand South Africa. We do continue to be a repository and a base where information is extracted and is used widely. However, we have not leveraged on that and claimed, you know, and claimed not responsibility, but claimed that we own that information or that we own that piece of communication that has gone out. This was discussed last year at the board stress session, and we did indicate that we need to look at how we do it and hopefully present it differently. I think we will begin to see slowly the changes, and we will begin to brand South Africa so that there is a difference between tourism. Tourism promotes the tourist destination. Proudly South African will promote your goods and services. DTI will promote investment into the country. But Brand South Africa is the overarching nation brand. It is the sum of all of those aspects that makes us who we are as a whole. I think hopefully that addresses that point. And maybe let me ask Miller to take on some of the questions. But before I do that, can I just request the board members to introduce themselves? I think when I introduced them, you could not put the name to the face. So it's better that my board members, if they may at this stage, please introduce themselves. I'll start with Ryland at the back there.
And the problem is that their voice, their members like to hear voices.
Yes.
I'm Ryland Fisher. My background is media. I'm a former editor of the New Age, former editor of the Cape Times, and I've been on the Brand Essay Board since October 2012.
Good morning, members. My name is Dion Heisamer. I'm a trustee, also from October 2012, and I'm also a member of the Marketing Subcommittee and a member of Audit and Risk Committee.
Morning. I'm Wayne Morris, trustee. I sit on two committees, Marketing and Audit and Risk Committee. I also have actively over the last period of time assisted the presidency with FDI into South Africa. This is my second term on Brand South Africa. Thank you.
CFO?
Hello, Chair. I thought I won't have the opportunity to introduce myself, given that the trustees are introducing. My name is Adish Bwane, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer at BSA. Thank you.
And the CEO, and when you're done, if you may please pick up on some of the questions.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. My name is Mela Matola, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer and a trustee. If I may respond to some of the questions that were raised, for instance, the question honourable Mastoni raised about social cohesion. I think social cohesion, as you know, is an area or a mandate that really spans across many public sector entities. And so as Brand South Africa, that is also an area of focus for us. In respect of how do we help drive that, we have programs on the ground that we use for that, one of which is a program that really encourages active citizenship among South Africans with a view to obviously, you know, creating space for greater cohesion and unity. The sectors we do deal with is the faith-based organizations. So we have a program that deals with faith-based organizations. You know, we have a number of activities with multi-denominational associations across the board. We also have a program that deals with the youth, for example, because we believe the youth are very important in terms of, you know, them being the future leaders, but also them being able to contribute towards the greater unity and cohesion. That program is called the Shape the Future program, which is a youth-based program. We also reach out to schools, working with the Department of Education, for instance, because we believe that soon, you know, if you catch them young, we start dealing with the young people and we can make them understand the transition the country has gone through and the need for social cohesion, tolerance, those things. We believe that that ultimately, in the long term, will make a difference. Outside of those areas, we also work to achieve alignment with a number of role players, as the chair said, whether it's the DTI, and so forth. We always work in partnership. For an example, the issue that you raised, we currently have in the country, together with the National Film and Video Foundation, the DTI, a group of film producers from the United States. And part of us working together is to ensure that there is more alignment of the messages and how we then position South Africa for them, so that they can understand that South Africa is a far diverse film location as opposed to just focusing on the traditional images that we'll see when the films are shot in South Africa. So that is really how we deal with that issue. The issue of popularizing ourselves, I think the chair has eloquently dealt with that. As to the issue of you know, the distinction between ourselves and the GCIS, I think that has also come through. As the chair has said, we are largely responsible for the brand of the nation, reputation of the nation. And GCIS would be largely responsible for the government brand. However, we work with everybody, as the chair has indicated. So the issue of that you raised around the interpreter is not something that Brand South Africa would have been directly involved in, per se. The Honourable Prof raised the issue of the ICTS cluster. We do present to the ICTS cluster from time to time when we have, for an example, major projects or when we have major announcements that we make. And we work very closely with DERCO. For an example, in our U.S. office in Washington, D.C., our country manager there is located within the embassy because it's part of us ensuring cost saving and that we can, you know, co-locate and in that way reduce costs. But I also highlight that with regard to the question of how we deal with other sectors of society, we also take the same view that we work with and through stakeholders. We cannot do everything. What we need to do is almost plant the seed and let it germinate. So for an example, students who go outside the country, what we do is provide support in terms of messaging and information about South Africa, which they can give out there. And sometimes we do give collateral. For instance, the Department of Tourism has students going off overseas. We met with them, we gave them information, and we made sure that they had enough information about South Africa to be able to talk you know, well about South Africa. The Maritime Association had the students going overseas to one of the Nordic countries, and what we did is we were invited to then talk to them about South Africa. So these are things we do on a regular basis. Even business sometimes, APSA, when they had a group of their executives going overseas, they go. So we do that on a regular basis. It's really on the basis of sharing messaging with them. The Honourable Sheen, you raised the matter of the survey that we do. Unfortunately, this time, because we wanted more engagement around what Brand South Africa does, we have not presented those. But I can give you an indication of the more recent ones that we have done, which would have been in end of October. Let me take one which we have not had the opportunity yet to present to the committee, which is around the cities. Over and above testing the reputation of the country, every 2 years there is an international survey that tests the reputation of cities. And Brand South Africa actually enters three of our cities in that survey, and we then make sure that they are compared with other like cities globally. This time we entered Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban. And I'm pleased to say that, in fact, we saw improvements in the reputation of those cities, and cities being the engines of growth in any you know, country or community, it tells you then that there is a significant shift in perceptions about the country. For an example, Johannesburg, there was a time when they almost compared it to Mexico City, and in fact Mexico City was about two places ahead of us. Now, I think the point here is to be compared to Mexico City is obviously a very, very serious matter. But in the last survey we did, Johannesburg has actually made improvements. It's far ahead of other countries, even you know, countries such as Argentina and so forth, which you compare with cities such as Durban. And the same with Cape Town. So on average, these cities made a move of about two places each. So all the three cities in the country have done that. When it comes to the country, for the past 3 years, Honorable Shin, we have been, we compare ourselves with 50 countries, and those are developed countries. Again, we have been sitting at a position about 36 out of those 50 countries for the past 3 years. We did not drop last year. And it's very interesting that we did not drop in a year when about two-thirds of those countries which were polled actually dropped. And a lot of those were European countries which have taken a knock in terms of their reputations. And if you're looking at the other surveys, such as the Global Competitiveness Index, again, you have seen only a drop of one place by South Africa. We've set within the range of 53-54, effectively, I think, for the past 3 to 4 years or so. So within that range, between 50 and 55. And some of the areas that obviously present a challenge, you can see that they are already being addressed, whether it's the area of health, it's the area of education. And I think what we are seeing in those studies on corruption, I think whether it's investors or fund managers or whoever we are talking to, the issue they want to know is, what are you doing about infrastructure? What are you doing about it? We should be able to tell them objective facts, and that is how Brand South Africa manages the reputation of the country. Honorable Stein, your comment is noted about the application. I must say I have not visited it this morning. So I think it's something that we will take into account at the point that you have raised. If you look at our online platforms, other online platforms, you will see that they have shown tremendous growth. Our website alone is actually ranked among the best in the public sector websites. Within that is the platform which we call Media Club. Actually, media download information from that portal directly sometimes as it is, because it's a well-researched platform that has factual content by experts who are writing about different aspects of this country. So you see quite a lot of, you've seen growth there, whether it's on our Facebook and other social platforms, but as well as the unique users on our online platforms. The issue of the application, I will certainly look into that and see. It's something that we have launched recently, and I think we need to check and test daily how it works. The idea is to obviously make sure that it's far more interactive going forward. However, when we launched this, it was just to provide business people largely with information on South Africa. But I do take the point that has been raised. We did talk about the issue of leveraging the issue of perceptions on the thing that you raised and working with other departments. Part of one of the programs that we do or we deliver is what we call the feedback loop to various stakeholders. So this kind of feedback that we are giving, whether it's from surveys that we conduct or in the research that we do, as well as other third-party research, we share it with various departments that we've identified. We would share it with whether it's Home Affairs, Education, the DTI, and in most instances you'll see a response to some of the issues that we have raised. For instance, they would call us to come and provide particular support, and we think that's something that we should do a lot more of. I must concede we haven't done all the departments. We've identified departments that are priority for us now, but probably as we move on, we'll get on more departments that we then share this information with and try and work with them in terms of how we respond, how we deal with those issues. The question of what more we can do, Chair, I think perhaps I should request the Chair to help me respond to that. Otherwise, I'll present the shopping list of what we can do.
I think what we wish we could do more is around more visibility locally, domestically, and have robust programs that will engage more extensively on the domestic market. The budget, with the change of the mandate, the budget didn't change. So we had to realign and try and fit some of the domestic programs and continental programs within a budget that had previously been set out for a different mandate. So that's, I think, primarily really what we would have liked to do. Just have more focus on expanding the domestic programs and having them, you know, more extensive and robust. And the continental programs. Thank you, Chair. Can I please, Chair, if I may ask if my board members would like to add any comments at this stage before I hand over to you? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sin, Honorable Nivot Trochen, Honorable Sin.
Thank you, Chair. Just an idea for perhaps an improvement on your media club. Why don't you have a link to Africa Check, which is a site that is run by a couple of journalists, and they do fact checks on stories that are published in the media, and they actually correct a lot of the misperceptions and sort of urban myths, if you like, that are around. It might be just a useful thing to have a link there. It's a very credible fact.
Thank you, Chair. My question relating to if people with disabilities sit on the camp on your board or not, that was not answered. And then my second question, the testing of cities, how is that testing being done? Is it through the website, or how many likes you get, or how many calls you are getting? How are those tests done? Can you please go?
Chair?
Thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, we do not have any members with disability on the board. Oh, no, we do. Kaysen Manyala? Yes, Kaysen Manyala, who is representing DECO, sits on our board as a full trustee. But besides Kaysen, we don't have anybody from outside. And if you may respond to the cities.
Thank you, Honourable Prof. This survey called City Brand is an online survey which polls the users, and obviously they are segmented such that they can reach people who have travelled or are travellers or have been to various parts of the world. And essentially it looks at elements such as the quality of life in that city, it looks at facilities, it looks at infrastructure, it looks at things such as vibrancy, the culture, and the various amenities. And so they poll quite a number of, quite a big survey that they go through for all the sort of 50 or so cities that are part of the survey.
Africa Check?
Honorable Sheen, I think that's, thank you very much for that. We'll certainly look at that because we do need to expand the reach of our media club, but also the fact that they verify the facts, I think, would obviously be an added benefit for us if we think it. So we'll certainly look at it.
Thank you, Chair. What I was saying? The look, I
I get worried when you can start reading my face, Chairperson, because I didn't put up my hand. I was actually wondering whether I should post this, make this comment or not, but perhaps it is important. I'm still on your application, and I've just looked at, you've got three items under your Discover. One is Madiba Moments, and then you've got two, the South African Story Edition 1 and Edition 2. I've downloaded all three, and I've looked at the Madiba Moments. And I think while it correctly states on the front there a photographic tribute, and it says from 1918 to 2013, if I actually go into it and I go to the last page, though, the last photograph is 2006. There's absolutely nothing about the passing of the late president. And I think something like this that is of such international importance should be up to date. If you know, if people go into this, if your this app becomes popular, people go into it. And given the lack of information on here, quite honestly, there's just those three pieces. And to then, I think the first thing when people see the Madiba Moments, almost everybody that opens this link will go into it. And I then don't expect it to end with photographs up to 2006. I think it should be completed. It's also a tribute to the late president. So that's just a comment that I've got here, Chairperson. And I'm glad to see that, and when I referred to 1,677 links, that was on your Facebook page. That was likes. That was the number of people that liked it. And since I've mentioned it, I was probably, because I then liked it, so I was 1,678, and I see it's now gone up to 79. So at least one other person has picked up on it and liked it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Probably when you respond to this question, one other issue which one would be interested, maybe from my side, is that which countries are leading in terms of this issue of nation brand, and probably to just also reflect in terms of what is it which they do better, other than budgetary constraints, but what are these things which they've done well to be able to brand themselves very well. Maybe I won't say more than us, but probably because it depends in terms of when they started. I'm sure for us with this branding issue, a nation brand, we're still a youngster. We didn't have a lot of time to do that, given our other brand before 19 and so on, because we had our other brand which was moving to another direction. We're trying to move to the other direction now. But I'd be interested to know in terms of those leading countries, what is it which they do best to deal with this matter, and so that probably I like the idea. Probably members, those who are here, they remember that they've been vocal about this thing of dealing with the international part only without the domestic one. I see in your budget the split also 60-40 is promising. We hope that one day it will be the opposite. If things go well, but at least it's promising. We're moving towards that particular direction. And so for me, that would be a key issue, because I've looked in terms of the NDP and dealing with the issue of social cohesion. I was saying at one point, probably one other thing that which seems to be a gap there, which I don't know, probably you can indicate, the impact of our news reporting. How do we report our news and so on? Because we do go to these other countries. But when you look in terms of the news reporting and headlines, ours, we look like a nation at war with itself. You know, when you talk about self-destruction, distract yourself, but you want to be seen good, but you the way we deal with some of the things seems to be a concern. also to check what impact does that have, our reporting, news reporting in particular, the way we report things and so on. Does that have a huge impact on the brand, or is neither here or there? It's one of those things, even if it's a selling, but does not have that much impact. And so, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the last point, the impact of the news reporting. Whenever we engage with the international community, they always point out on the gains and the positives of South Africa. And they always, always make the point that we are our worst enemy. And I think that's where part of the internal mobilization will come in. Of course, we do engage with the media at various platforms, you know, to engage them around how they do their reporting and the psyche of some of the stories, how they are reported, the psyche that that may have on the larger society. You know, so, but the CEO will elaborate on some of the engagements that we have with media. And I hope you also have, Mila, if I may ask you to respond to the country, where, how we are positioned vis-a-vis who's better than us, globally or on the continent, or, and when they enter the fray, and what are the elements that they are beating us on. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Shin, the Smith of the online platform and our app, just to clarify that the tribute you are looking at, and I'm not sure how it's called, trying to get on the coming on your side, it's a photographic tribute that we produced for the occasion of the passing of the former state president, and so we chose certain moments. So it wasn't meant to be a chronology, an up-to-date chronology of his life. It was moments that we chose and used that as a photographic tribute, which, by the way, we sent to a lot of people and they downloaded that photographic tribute. We did think at some point of putting it together as a coffee table publication, but that was the intent behind that photographic tribute. But I will certainly look into the actual issues, the other issues that you have really raised, and how do we then improve on that app. The question around the comparison, Chair, with other countries, I think what's critical to note is on the reputation index that we've talked about, there are a number of countries that are ahead of us, and you ask what is it that they do better. In no particular order, but you'll see that the UK, the US, Germany, for an example, countries such as Switzerland do well on those indices. I think part of what you also need to be aware of is the fact that there are not many countries on the continent that are part of the survey. In fact, if you look at the continent, there are only a few countries that have started participating in that survey, amongst which are countries such as Nigeria and Kenya, for an example. And so you are looking at a situation where we are actually compared with largely with developed economies. And as they, you know, was highlighted earlier by the Chair, they don't have to go through a process of rebranding or they don't have to undergo a process of colonial branding that we have to deal with. As a country on the continent, part of the challenge is we need to always almost conscientize, educate people about the continent, the fact that it's 54 states and that it's not all you know, war and the conflict throughout, and that there's been an improvement. So we almost have to have a double take on dealing with the issue of branding the country. But on what some of these countries have done and are doing is that you will see that the issue of branding for them has probably moved beyond where we are sitting, where a lot of them now do not have agencies like ourselves. they've passed that stage. A lot of the Eastern European countries, when they broke with the fall of the Soviet Union, you saw them establishing brand South Africa type agencies. And they have moved, if you look at some of them, Latvia, Estonia, and where they are. But what they did well was to ensure that their branding efforts were used to inform the grand strategy of the country, in the sense that it informed or contributed towards the grand strategy. And I think that is what we're seeking to do with the National Development Plan and Brand South Africa, working very closely with the National Planning Commission. And so branding was not just seen as just a marketing activity, which was divorced from policy direction and was divorced from that iterative feedback loop, where areas, for instance, of challenge are looked at very clearly and then taken back and dealt with. I'll give you another example of, Jordan on the Global Governance Index has not moved as much in terms of the overall, the 12 pillars of competitiveness. But what they have done is they have taken, it's like Saudi Arabia, between Jordan and Saudi Arabia, I could use any of those two examples. They have taken an element and they've said, this year we are going to deal with that element. Our challenge or the area where we need to focus on is education. And they have taken one element and they have worked on it. And indeed, when you subject it to a survey, you see that they've made a move on that element. They might not have improved on the other, whether it's freedom of speech and so on, but they will make an improvement on that. So I think it's a very deliberate strategy. Then, in addition to the link between branding as well as national strategy and policy, there is the whole issue of the communication. And they have different communication machineries, especially the Western ones, where people might say, Germany does not have a brand South Africa, but the Goethe Institute, the French with your Alliance Francaise, those are all institutions that really perpetuate the brand of, just like the British Council. By the way, brand UK is probably the one that does a lot better than most. It is usually in the first two, either number one or number two. So those are some of the elements that one could highlight, Chair. Lastly, I think it's just symbolic actions that they make. And then they really make a big issue of those symbolic actions in terms of communicating them and working with their media to make a statement around those symbolic gestures that they are showing to the world, whether it's a symbolic gesture around something they do or say in multilateral institutions. They make a big issue around them, and their media supports them, obviously, in doing that. I think I'll pause here, Chair. No, thank you, Prof. The issue of media, I think media, and that's why we have them as a critical stakeholder in our strategy, Chair, because they are a critical role player in shaping perceptions about the country. But I think as the author Landman has said, media take obviously a shorter term view of issues, and if you only read what media has to say about a country or what's happening in the country, you then don't see the long-term view of what's happening in the country. You have to delve a little bit deeper. But the unfortunate thing is that because of the power of the media, that tends to have a damaging impact on the reputation of the country. So media is a critical stakeholder. And you will find in those other countries, it's not to say that the media does not necessarily report on the issues. I think the media does report and give a balanced perspective on issues, but there is also a responsible balancing act that they play in terms of the stories. For an example, it's a question of what is of critical importance, whether a story that is of national interest juxtaposed a story about somebody whose watch has been stolen, and there's a decision that could be made about which is the headline of those two. And so I think these things become important. They do get reported, but I think in many ways they work with their countries, their governments, in creating a very strong reputation of their countries and really also being able to highlight other elements that might not come to the fore of the positive developments in those countries.
Thank you. Members, do you have any other question or clarity? Lovely. Okay. Probably let us finish with the PSA, if you don't have other issues, so that when we break for tea, when we come back, we go to other issues. But I must say, thanks very much for the presentation. I just hope that probably some of the things I always say, South Africans were too ambitious sometimes in terms of what we can do. When I talk to my colleagues sometimes, I would say probably we reach a day where we mature as a nation in terms of how to do things. I always make an example, Parliament with how many parties? 19 at one point. Really, in any democracy, do we need 19 parties? What are these parties discussing exactly? But you see that as time goes on, that we get mature, parties will be fewer, because we are going to converge and understand what is important for the country, what will be differences and so on. Actually, seeing now any issue, you can form a political party. You want Dacha, you form a Dacha party. Soka party, so anything. You form a political party. That probably shows that they were still at the early stage of our own majority of our democracy. By the time goes on, we'll be able to converge and have fewer area of focus and so on. No, honorable Shin, I can say she's laughing when I say Dacha and other things and so on. No, Dacha separate from the medical part of it. Just I'm talking about the smoking for funny part of it without any medical connotation and so on. Medical probably is a different debate around that. But I hope that one day we'll be able to start to deal with these issues and be able to move forward. I would love to see one day in our rural areas the kids there to talk about BSA. Because I was also interested to say, but when do we inculcate this nation building, nation brand in a society? At large, where do you do that, and when is the best time to do that? Whether it's something when post later, when you go to a working environment, you are an academic or a qualified person, then you start to interact with, or something which actually probably as early as in primary schools and so on, we start to engage and to understand this proudness of being a South African and so on, or the nation and so on. But probably those are bigger debates, which as time goes on, we'll be able to engage on those matters. Chairperson, unless there are other things which you want to say before we conclude.
Thank you, Chair. Just to thank you and the members for your time and for the input and comments. So we welcome them, and we will consider those which we need to consider as suggested. We thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Members, that will conclude our engagement with BSA. Like I've said originally, that actually it's a pity that we didn't engage with you that much. But we are making recommendations that in the fifth parliament, at least the committee have two full functional days, which will be separated if the departments are still as now. The one day which will be dedicated to Department of Communication and its entities, and the other day dedicated to the other part of the work of the committee. So that we have that balance. I think we're inviting now with members because we had one official day to deal with the issues, unless you apply for other days and so on. much for the good story. You see, when I say that, they will start to fight the good story that you have shared. Thank you very much. See you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We prefer to be called Brand South Africa, Chair. Please, not to...
Not yet.
No.
Yeah, you did found the call card.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
And all the best for Brand South Africa.
Thank you.
Members probably can break for 10 minutes working. Then we'll come to our internal world.